This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to the flagship show of Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. If you're tuning in from New Hampshire or anywhere around the country, welcome, welcome. What a week it has been. January 22nd is when we are taping this, and welcome to the K-Star Radio Network and everyone else who carries this show. We thank you. And what does a talk show host do when they feel like there's nothing more to talk about? Well, there's always more to talk about, and that's why I'm going to give you the number in this first one or two segments. If you are tuning in and you'd like to spout off here, this is the place to do it. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Would love to hear from you. So were you expecting something different to happen on Wednesday, January 20th, 2021 than actually happened? I was hoping against hope. I was holding out every possible hope that something different would happen than everybody expected. Liars, cheaters, and thieves would be arrested. You know, little dramatic things like that. And yes, I got caught up in thinking that there was still a last possibility that Joe Biden, who doesn't even know what day it is or where he is, would not be inaugurated president of the United States. So many people believe this election was a fraud, and we've seen again and again how the Democrats, and well, they're not even really Democrats anymore. They're leftist radicals, communists, socialists, one world government people on both sides of the aisle in the deep state. We have seen how no matter what the charge is, they simply ignore it, deny it, or get their media to hit back 10 times as hard. And they ride out the clock. That's what they always do. And apparently they succeeded. I have already paid off my debts to society for the bets that I took, saying not that Donald Trump would be inaugurated on January 20th. I didn't think that would happen, but that Joe Biden would not be inaugurated on January 20th. And maybe there would be a window of opportunity to actually examine the facts. So when Republicans, or at least liberty-loving patriot-type Republicans, put forth ridiculously obvious, deeply, profoundly important allegations that go to the heart of our rights to vote as citizens in this country, when there is signed affidavits under the penalty of perjury that show again and again that election laws were broken, were flaunted, were completely sidestepped, enormous suspicion and everything else, and yet they are ignored by every sphere of influence in this country, from the judiciary all the way certainly to the state legislatures, who should have had more courage and guts but did not, and then Congress, which not only has never had guts but apparently thinks they are our rulers, not our representatives. All of them showed no backbone, no guts, and none of them were the least bit concerned. That's what's also interesting, that there have been any allegations of voter fraud. My point being that Republicans can show all the evidence in the world that something's wrong, and I'm just talking about a few Republicans, and there are very few patriot-type Republicans, and it gets ignored. Democrats can make the most ridiculous, insane allegations, such as Donald Trump should be impeached, and they're even working on it now, after he is no longer in office, despite what Alan Dershowitz, who I've had quite a fight with in the past, says. You can't impeach a president who's no longer president, but they're going to do it anyway. They are vindictive as hell, and they don't just want to defeat their opponents. They want to pound them into dust so no one will ever dare to question them again. This is dictatorship type stuff. So Democrats are claiming, and we have been over this, that somehow on 4 days before Trump leaves office, 6 days, 10 days, whatever it is, and it was all of those, that he is somehow responsible and incited violence on January 6th when none of the facts and evidence have really come out. And everybody saw Donald Trump's speech. He said absolutely nothing. But railroading their opponents is standard operating procedure for the left. Railroading everyone they hate. Now, they're not only interested in pounding Donald Trump into dust. I think that's going to be difficult. But they want to pound anyone who dared to question, including 70, 80 million Trump supporters into dust, too. They're going to come after you and I for the crime of having questioned them. Now, this kind of stuff makes most people who love America, the America that it used to be, makes their head explode. Because how can they continue to railroad people with no evidence, ignore stunning mountains of evidence that any reasonable human being would say something's not right here? Reasonable human being said something's not right here when we were introduced with a virus that was scary at first, and then we discovered that the same people trying to lock us down, shut us down, shut us up, bankrupt businesses, mask us, muzzle us, put us on house arrest. That virus turned out to be really no worse than a really bad flu and dangerous to the same people, elderly people and others who have pre-existing conditions, dangerous to them just like the flu. Surprisingly, we have to keep saying this because Democrats always ignore information they don't like. Almost nobody's died of the flu this year, and there hasn't been, despite the hysterical numbers, the death toll, all used to terrify you, to scare you into submission, scare you. If there are that many deaths because of coronavirus, what happened to deaths from the flu? None, zero, nada. We have evidence that people who died of gunshot wounds, if they tested positive, and guess what? You can pretty much get anybody to test positive, including a kiwi fruit or a can of Coke. Anybody can test positive if they want you to. And if you happen to be a Republican, you may just test positive more often than if you said, you know what, I'm a loyal communist. No, you'll test positive later. Do you see the kind of diabolical plan that is in play here? Or could be in play? We need to stop apologizing for saying that we believe in conspiracy theories, because we're living a conspiracy theory. We're living a hostile takeover of this country by lies, bullying, intimidation, threats, and deceit. It gives me no pleasure to say that. It gives me no pleasure to sound, God, can you imagine just several years ago, if anyone was talking this way, they'd say, what a wackadoodle. My goodness, I don't know what she's smoking. Just because she's based in northern Colorado, maybe she's smoking some of that funny weed. because I don't know what she's talking about. Well, there are a lot of people who think that what I'm saying right now makes no sense. But you know what? If you've been watching for roughly a year, maybe 10 months, 11 months to a year, you would know that we saw every sign of it, every hint of it. And people like me and many, many others across the country were little Paul and Paulette Revere's, trying to get churches to wake up, trying to get synagogues to wake up, trying to get everyone to wake up to the fact that if you tolerate the early stages of tyranny, I put this meme on my Facebook, which, by the way, I'm on temporary and possibly permanent leave from Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at MeWe. I don't know about Parler. Haven't checked there whether it's even in operation. You know, we're just not allowed to think for ourselves. That's really the bottom line message. You shall not think for yourself. You shall bow down to our dear leader. And if whoever that happens to be, in this case, the communists who are running Washington right now. And so, how does the talk show host go forward? Well, I will, and I plan to, and I shall. But, you know, I haven't quite digested everything that's gone on this week. And by the way, just as a hint, we are going to have Rick Manning back, who we had last week, and he predicted this, along with Ted Harvey and quite a few others that I interviewed, and I didn't bet them that Joe Biden would not be inaugurated, but I bet others that he would not be inaugurated. And so, as I said, I paid off my debts to society, and I wanted to have Rick Manning on. I'm sure he is not going to take a bow, because I'm sure he's not happy about what has gone on, but at least we'll get his thoughts starting in the bottom of the hour to the rest of the show. So you can still call in if you care to, 888-627-6008, and give me your thoughts. I also encourage you to make use of some of the alternate sites to Drudge, which also was taken over, I believe, by leftists. That was done a couple of years back. Because, again, that is how you control the narrative, by controlling communication, controlling media, and that's the first thing people do. There is a playbook for this sort of thing. It's right out of Saul Alinsky, and they play it to the hilt. They are now giving the message to America and Americans that you will no longer disagree. You know that old thing about free expression, free speech, the government can't punish you for what you say. Excuse me. Well, we have a rogue government in this country that is picking and choosing not only which laws they will uphold, and only if they like them, but they'll pick and choose which laws apply to which people. If you're a leftist in the muscle end of the Democrat Party and BLM and Antifa, you can riot all you want. You can steal. You can cheat. You can burn down Wendy's. But if you dare to walk very, very peacefully through the Capitol because others let you in, you are engaging in an insurrection and you will be arrested. This is a dark week for America, in my opinion. And we will find our voice and our optimism. I don't know about optimism, because I'm a greater fan of honesty. I like honesty, and I'm not going to tell you I'm happy when I'm not. I'm going to try to look for the bright side if there is one, but you got to sort of, you know, give reality about what is happening and try to adjust to it. So we're going to talk more. We have another segment before we bring on our guest, Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Look looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And one of the best ways to get out of a slump is to tell the truth that you're in one. That's the mental health professional part of me talking. I could not stand when people, in fact, I was there at that horrific, terrible, awful Columbine shooting. And I volunteered my time as a mental health professional. And I came and I offered a Kleenex to people. But I was expected to, I don't know what I was expected to do. You know, when people have been traumatized, they're not ready to talk about completely what's gone on until they digest it, until they process it. And those that try to push people ahead too quickly are not really doing people any favors. If you've had a big loss in your life, I'm talking about loss of a loved one or whatever, you really don't want to hear people say, you'll get over it or it'll be okay, when you don't feel like it's okay at all and you just need to kind of sit in the unokayness of it all. Now, I think with 70 to 80 million Trump voters who believe that their votes were completely meaningless in this election, I think there will be pushback. There's no question about it. What form it will take, it's too early to say. But I always want to, when possible, when necessary, I want to bring in my friend and colleague and my producer, Doug from BBS Radio, to tell me what you think when at the break you said, boy, we're all in a slump. We don't know what to do next. And I said, save it for the radio. I'm going to bring you on. So, Doug from BBS Radio, how has been your week?
Oh, total and absolute shock. And it still hasn't hit me yet. There's so many things that have run through my brain. I can't digest all the bad that this implies because it's so overwhelming. It makes me feel like I no longer have a sense of trust in our establishment. I used to. I used to believe that, you know, what you find the most important, honesty, was going to prevail. Now I don't see that any longer, and I don't know what that means exactly. And I don't know how to combat that exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's that quiet period and that inner burning, the anger and understanding that things have to change. But what part do I play? How do you change something so vastly ugly when all the levers of power are being manipulated? That's a scary thing for me. And
you're not alone.
Yeah.
You are not alone. I think that is what people think. And also, I mean, that's what a lot of people are feeling. And they also see that the corruption, the thwarting of the Constitution, the dictatorship, the force, the tyrannical steps used to rein in and shut up fellow citizens was done brazenly and in plain view. And so we know the mentality of these people. They don't appear to have any restraint at all. Many of them have sold out to the Chinese, like the guy who took the oath of office on Wednesday. He is an it is an open knowledge that he took bribes and blackmail from a hostile communist foreign power, and everyone knows it, and still it is allowed to stand. If that doesn't make you mad, I don't know what does.
There's a part of me that recognizes what they used was fear.
Oh, yeah.
Fear from the moment to today. You know, it's just been that. And we have not used that. You know, there's, and I, in my brain, I keep thinking, if the only way to get them to change is to do what they're doing, that means I've got to make them now fearful.
Hmm.
If I'm going to play in their arena.
Well, I think one of the ways, but I've been harping on this for months and months and months, is nonviolent resistance, but people didn't do it. They could not. I mean, first of all, you have to organize people. And the left is so much better at that than we are. We're a bunch of cats, you know, thinking individually and on our own, which is what we are in danger of losing, you know, unless it's just whispered behind closed doors like they did in the old Soviet Union. But mass civil resistance, ripping off the mask en masse, is what I've been talking about forever. And with only a little bit of bullying and intimidation, people are forced into doing it, which breaks their will, breaks their individuality, makes them march in lockstep, which is what communism and collectivism is all about at its very core.
And
gee,
it's everywhere.
This is a very fun conversation, but you know what? It's an important conversation, and I'm not going to gloss over it. Your turn.
When you deal with nonviolent actions like the Gandhi. Would
yes.
that does that really work? Well, let's look at the whole planet. How many countries are like America? Well, there's really not many. They're all kind of went
none.
Along the sword, right? There's none.
It is like America, and it's a constitutional guarantee that our rights come from God
right.
and not from men and the Bill of Rights and all of that. And now you have people from within who hate this country and how it was founded,
right?
Trying to dismantle every bit of it.
Right. So how far is that going to go?
Biden took the military flags off the walls
right.
and took Winston Churchill out of the White House. That's what they hated more than anything. And it wasn't Biden. I guarantee you, it wasn't Biden. This is Obama's third term
right.
on steroids. It
right.
doesn't matter that Biden's sitting there.
Right.
Obama and others are pulling the strings.
Sure.
It's the same administration.
Sure.
Everybody
sure.
knows it.
Sure.
We didn't vote for them. No. We voted them out probably in 2012, although we would have gotten something almost as bad with Mitt Romney, the snake.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I agree.
I'm running off at the mouth here.
No, but I look at that and I wonder, how do you change that? I don't know if being civil is going to work any longer. I mean, if I look at the world over, I don't see it's worked in any instances except a few that we could talk about in the past, right? We can. But yet look at them all, and now look at us.
Well, but we didn't try nonviolent civil disobedience. We never tried it. There was never any kind of civil disobedience action that ever took off. The closest we got was the drive around the Capitol in various cities, which really wasn't even, you know, which wasn't even, it was cleaving to the rules at that time anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we're going to stay in our car. We're going to dare to stay in our car.
But
it was
proven,
still a good thing, though.
But they've proven if they don't fear us at all. They don't fear the right at all. And they utilized fear, and they're still doing it. Why don't we make that a part of what we need to do? I hate that because I'm not that guy.
I know, but what are you? Do you have something? I'm sorry, I was away from the microphone. What are you suggesting? Give us an example, if you have one, of what you're talking about in, you know, in your fantasy of fantasies.
Well, in my fantasy of fantasies, you would see the states putting pressure, because we have more Republican, you know, states, and they would put pressure on the outcome of this election and seek to find out more about, you know, what went wrong.
And they didn't do it. They were given the opportunity to do it,
right?
And they didn't do
it. And they should
and
still do it,
though. In Georgia, they were shut down by a Republican governor,
right,
who it appears, sold out.
So is every state now crooked? Isn't there one or two states that are willing to advance that understanding? I don't get it.
Well, I've been talking a lot about the Faustian bargain. It's not only the Faustian bargain, but the lower level people don't even need Faustian bargains because they don't want to stick their head up in, for fear of getting it pounded down. You're talking about very high level psychological psyops.
We have to get the head. You got to go after one person and make him an example. So if the Republican Party wants to bring its power back, we got to take one guy that we don't want in that office and eliminate him from that office. Harass, hound.
Who might that be?
Hmm?
Who would you choose?
Who would I choose? Mitch McConnell.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean on our side of the aisle?
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant on their side.
No, I wouldn't target them. I'd be targeting ours.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Mitch McConnell has long exceeded his shelf life. And, you know, for the lack of better of anything else that I could say right now, Trump has done a terrific job of exposing all of these turncoat Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham. Everybody suspected that he was a low life, and he is, and he plays both ends of the fence. Anyway, I think that's about all of the, I don't know what the word is, crying in our beer we can do.
Thanks for letting me cry.
Well, thank you. It's always fun to commiserate with you too, my friend. BBS Radio, for those of you who don't know, we never do commercials for BBS, but we should. BBS Radio is the place I started with my first podcast. And so look them up, bbsradio.com. When we come back, and thanks again, Doug, when we come back, we will have Rick Manning, who I'm going to one more time have to mea culpa. I'm not going to mea culpa. I was wrong. I don't mind being wrong. What I mind is when other people are wrong and they refuse to admit it. More when we come back. You're listening to my name is Karen Cataline, and this is Spouting Off, the Friday edition. We'll be back with our guest right after this. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back to Spouting Off. I am your host, Karen Cataline, and we love to have guests to spout off. And just last week, we had Rick Manning from www.getliberty.com. And we are most assuredly on the same side, but he was right and he didn't want to be, and I was wrong and I didn't want to be. Welcome, Rick Manning, to Spouting Off once again.
Hey, how are you?
Well, you know, it's been a tough week for me, I'll tell you.
Well, it's been a tough week for America, so
it's a dark, dark week. Tell me how you spent Wednesday. I couldn't watch it. I got to tell you, I just couldn't watch it. You already told me last week that you believe this election was a fraud. It was a hoax, just like what they've done to us with coronavirus. And, well, I'm adding that. And so to watch lying, cheating, and stealing be rewarded in the greatest country in the world was heartbreaking. I was heartsick. What about you?
I wasn't happy, but here's what I did. I was fortunate enough to get an invitation from the president to come. I'm talking to the president, not the guy now, to come to Andrews Air Force Base and be there for his sending off. And so I got the opportunity to be there when he gave his ostensibly his farewell speech, and with a backdrop of Marine One and Air Force One. Mm-hmm. And it was and I thought it was important to do that because I wanted to show President Trump that people supported him, that he was, and give him actual, you know, he was doing something that was really hard. He knew that the election hadn't been on the up and up, but he did what he thought was the right thing in terms of moving forward. And he did give indication that he plans on, wasn't quite MacArthur-esque, but he did give strong indication that he wasn't leaving the public stage. And so, but it was, you know, anytime you're in one of those, at one of those events with the president, it's always unique. Mm-hmm. And it had, you know, the music from his rallies, but it was the Washington, D.C. crowds, when I've been in events with him in D.C., are much more reserved than the crowds in when it's out in the real world. And it's because, you know, we're a little more professional, and so I mean that in a bad way. And so the enthusiasm sometimes doesn't come through.
That's true. It's a good point.
Because let's face it. No matter, I've been in Washington D.C. now for more than 30 years. I think almost 30 years. And it becomes kind of normative to see people in politics and the like, whereas it's a unique experience for somebody who doesn't live here. Uh-huh. And but just to the point, I wanted President Trump to know that I supported him, and I was just one in the crowd, but I wanted to be there. I wanted to let him know that. And if there was nobody else there, I wanted to be the one to let him know that. So that's what I did. And I did not watch any of the inaugural festivities. Seeing an inauguration with nobody there didn't make a lot of sense. And quite honestly, I basically spent the time looking at the executive orders that Biden was putting out. And figuring out which ones were going to do what damage, and what hills were worth dying on, and in terms of the initial blast. And so that's really the and focusing on what did he think was the things that had to be done immediately, and some of the things he thought had to be done immediately were. Quite honestly, I was surprised. It was stuff that he could have done 2 weeks from now and nobody would have noticed.
Well, let's just say, for the record, it's not him doing it. This was all set up in advance, ready to go.
Of course.
And he's signing his name. I'm surprised he can sign his name. So this is Obama 3.0 on steroids.
No doubt.
All the people that ran the Obama administration, anybody, and I know you don't think so, who thinks that Biden has a mind left to do anything. I mean, he's just the perfect puppet. Let me ask you this.
I will tell you, there is political muscle memory, and that's kind of what he's operating off of. And
that's true.
And so just it's one of the reasons why he did okay in the debates, because the fact is the last thing a politician loses is their ability to make stuff up on the fly.
To BS. I was going to say the same thing. Let me ask you this. What do you think was the main reason we, the Patriots, could not get it done I have my thoughts, obviously, to expose, prosecute, and bring to light the voter fraud in order to have the rightful winner of the election, whoever that is, it was Donald Trump, get another term?
The answer is relatively simple. Courts are very, very reluctant to overturn any results that have been published. And the time to sue and all this stuff was before the ballots had been counted. The timing was wrong. We had to have a fight in Wisconsin before they certified. The minute the Secretary of State certified the ballots, it was extraordinarily difficult at that point to do anything. And even at the state legislator level, going in Arizona, for instance, the reason that Arizona sent Republican electors, Trump electors, but the reason.
And that gave us hope, yes.
That gave us hope. But here's what didn't happen.
What?
The state legislature in Arizona did not meet and say, these are the rightful electors who should be considered. We had six state legislatures that we control both houses in the six states that were in contest, and not a single one of the state legislatures met and certified Trump electors due to the voter fraud. If that had occurred, then you would have had a serious case that you could make that said the voter fraud was so enormous that the state legislature stepped in. They've taken away the authority that they have delegated to the Secretary of State and are making an alternative presentation based upon the voter fraud. And the fact that six Republican controlled state legislatures, both House and Senate, not a single one of them did that, made it extremely difficult then for a court to come in and say, well, gee, their voter fraud was so overwhelming. And the fact is the courts are chicken. So they weren't going to, and I think on a lot of air, probably I may have done this last week, I don't know, but I've tried to explain to people that there are, the courts are just so concerned, at least the Supreme Court level, so concerned about being packed, that they were not, that Roberts was not going to allow that to happen.
Well, Roberts is corrupt. I mean, I think a lot of people believe that. Pardon me?
All I know is that he believed he was protecting the court. I'm not telling you that he was right. I think the Supreme Court not taking the Texas case was a massive mistake. And the Supreme Court not taking the Texas case effectively laid the groundwork for people to feel as though there was no outlet to be able to actually have the case even heard. And because the case has never even got heard by anybody, people rightfully said this isn't fair.
There's a difference of opinion as to whether they were heard. And I have said again and again, according to Rudy Giuliani, the evidence was never heard in a court of law on the merits of Donald Trump's case. But yet, because the media lies, there are people who are sure that the cases were thrown out of court because there wasn't enough evidence for the case. And that is just simply not true. But you can't tell them that. They believe whatever they want.
Remember, Karen, I want, just in fairness, 80%, 75 to 80% of Republicans believe that there was fraud sufficient enough that Donald Trump should have been the president. So right. The noise get through conservative media outlets.
True.
The word did get out. The challenge is that the people who are, you know, the Democrats didn't get the message, and whatever middle exists in this country didn't get the message. But
there's no middle
35 to 40% of Americans said that this election was fraudulently held, and that bodes ill for Joe Biden's ability to reach across the aisle and get anything done, fortunately.
Well, he doesn't need any reaching across the aisle. They'll get rid of the filibuster. They have a monopoly of power in Washington. They don't need Republicans for anything, do they? Do they really? They just change the rules to suit themselves.
Well, they can
do
that.
They need us.
Well, I believe
that
every – I got to be careful what I say here. I believe
– Why?
Well, because there, in spite of what I tell my wife, there is a permanent record.
Okay.
I believe that that they do need Republicans for cover. Okay. Because
what do
every
they care?
Time,
they're well, governing at the. I'm sorry to say this, but I'm just really upset here. They're governing against the will of the people. What do they need cover for when we all know they're liars, cheaters, and thieves? At this point in time, that doesn't seem to apply anymore when you wrest control of the government from people who voted. You take away their votes, and then you shut them down and censor them on social media. I don't get the whole they need cover.
Well, I'll tell you why.
From what?
Because the reason why is because the people who are in charge are still old. And they're used to the old format where you needed to have political cover, and they haven't adapted to the reality that they don't need anybody, but they feel they need cover because that's where their comfort level is. And in Washington, D.C., half of this stuff is old people who are doing stuff, and that breaking their patterns is extremely difficult. It was why getting senators to vote and say, even though there's a lot of fraud, senators to vote to the contrary was very difficult, because we're forcing people with a certain mindset and a certain way of doing things to try to break through to a new way of thinking. And it is almost impossible with 70-year-old men to get that to happen. Okay. That's just
so, Rick, you know, you've given me an what make your point. You were leading up to something, because I'm dying to ask you this question that has to do with what you just said. Are you sure? Are you sure? Don't forget what you were going to say. This leads me to something that has been a thread throughout, and we are about ready to take a break. I'll ask the question. I'll try to. You know, people always say Republicans, like we talked about in the legislature and then in the U.S. House and Senate, that they're weaklings, and that's why they didn't have the guts, and they're this and they're that. What I really am dying to know is, are they that stupid and that ignorant to understand what the consequences were to handing the government and America over to communist Chinese and basically end America as we know it? I mean, okay, I got a break coming up, and I will try to find a better way of stating that. But
no, that's fine. I get it.
I know. It's like, what? How narrow? How? What? How much tunnel vision do you really have? Not to be able to see what the consequences are of your actions here, like the courts. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we are delighted to have Rick Manning. I like you more and more, and I love having you on as a guest, even if you're right. Yeah. We'll come back. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network, and this is the Friday edition. We also do Tuesdays and Thursdays out of Nashua, New Hampshire at WSMN. All of that and more can be found at my website, KarenCataline.com. We're talking to Rick Manning, a very wise individual that unfortunately said that what we wanted to have happen wasn't going to, and he was right. Before the break, I asked a question. I'm going to let Rick restate it because I think he understands my question, and then we'll continue to what we can do at this point, because we got to look at what we can do after we get done grieving. Then we got to move on and step up to the plate. Go for it, Rick, and thanks for staying with us.
Sure. Absolutely. The question essentially is, how can these guys be so dumb as to vote to put in a communist regime when they knew that yes. that was what was going to happen? That was essentially the question.
And you can't reverse it. And you can't reverse it. Once communists take power, they never back off.
And that part is, I will tell you the answer. The answer is Mitch McConnell has a 38-year relationship with Joe Biden. You cannot get a Mitch McConnell to believe that Joe Biden is going to allow that to occur, because he believes they have similar basic understandings of what America is. What the miscalculation of these guys, because Joe Biden's been around so long, he's familiar and he's safe in their mind because he's a buddy of theirs, right? So that is essentially the reason why the Senate would not do this, because they feel comfortable with Joe Biden because he's one of their club members.
About Hunter Biden and the Hunter Biden laptop? Did they not hear how he was compromised to the communist Chinese? Were they absent from school that day? What?
Well, let me just remind you that we had the Ukraine impeachment that the Democrats pushed through, and the Republicans in the Senate would not allow. They agreed not to have the Hunter Biden's relationship with Burisma in Ukraine and Joe Biden's bragging about forcing them to fire a prosecutor based upon withholding money, which was actually the charge that President Trump was charged with. They decided not to allow that evidence into the hearing, into the trial. That was the agreement that they made with the president's team. So given that, they were, from that moment, they were protecting Biden from those charges, even as far back as the Ukraine investigation. They know that that's true. They were exposed to that during the impeachment in private briefings. And so they knew what was going on.
So, Rick,
in terms of the communist part, just understand, they don't believe that that is the case.
What do they think the communist Chinese do to the Uyghurs? I mean, this is, and for your first point, and I just love this conversation, but I wish to God we weren't having it, maybe I'm a Pollyanna. But it is hard for me to believe that they protected Joe Biden because of, professional courtesy when they're basically turning the country over to communists. And that tells me they're corrupt, that they've benefited from corruption, that they are lying, cheating, stealing politicians, too. You can't tell me they're that dumb. Mitch McConnell was quite eloquent during the Supreme Court nominations. I had never seen him more eloquent when he stood up. I don't remember which speech it was, whether it was Kavanaugh or it was Amy Coney Barrett, but either one, he stepped up to the plate, but he's friends with people in China. So I just don't get it.
Once again, it's about relationships. Okay, as much as we have a hard time believing this,
I do.
You know, this is a these guys all have relationships. You know who they don't have a relationship with?
Donald Trump.
Right. Okay, the reason Donald Trump could drain the swamp.
He's not an insider.
Because the reason he'd come is, I want to drain the swamp and mean it and be a threat, is because he's not an insider.
Right, and the swamp is filled with people who have long ago given up their oaths of office and have forgot whom they serve. It took a Donald Trump to remind them and to expose them, as far as I'm concerned. They're not there.
I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree with that. Bottom line is, if you look at the, you look at the thing, and by the way, this impeachment, the one that's coming up, this impeachment is not going to be about anything he said on January 6th, because the Democrats have admitted, Chuck Schumer has admitted that this was a planned well in advance of January 6th, which means that what they're going to, in proceeding with this, they're going to try to make the trial about the totality of Donald Trump's language and his attacks on the swamp, and say that that is the reason why that he should be impeached, because the tone of 5.5 years of Donald Trump was the problem, not a specific speech. That's exactly what they're going to try to do.
And how do you impeach someone who's no longer in office? As one politician said, shall we impeach Abraham Lincoln and George Washington too? I'm sure they would if they could.
That's the rallying cry that everything I hear that a vast majority of Senate Republicans are saying, this is preposterous. We don't impeach people after the fact. There's no purpose for this. It's a waste of our time.
And Dershowitz said you can't do it legally, even though I have no love for Dershowitz these days either.
That's true. But here's the thing. I'm going to give you the silver lining of all this. As painful as an impeachment thing is, you know what they're not doing if they're spending all their time in impeachment hearings? They're not passing legislation. They're not passing gun control. They're not doing any of that stuff.
They'll have time for that. And it makes them look so vindictive and so hostile. But we already know that. Anybody who's watching knows that they want to pound people into dust.
It destroys their ability to govern. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that is I think a vast majority of Americans will say, this is unfair, it's wrong, and they shouldn't be doing it.
We go back to the fact that they don't care what we think anymore. Well, and if we think anything that contradicts what they think, they're going to shut us down and stick a muzzle in our mouth. So
I understand the problem. Trust me,
I know you do.
Every day I fight this. Remember the single saving grace in this entire thing is that AOC is not in charge, okay? It is a bunch of older people who are used to a way of doing things that you have to, they'll say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's a reason that saying exists. And you have a Senate full of old dogs.
I have a hard time accepting that. I'll tell you why. Because everything AOC says that sounds outlandish, ridiculous, and insane, they use that to introduce it to the public, so either they can come just this side of insane radicalism, or a lot of the things we thought were so ridiculous, now the Democrats have embraced, like the Green New Deal, like $15 demands of minimum wage, like all the rest of it.
Universal payments.
And they embrace it. What?
100%. I 100% agree. What I'm trying to present here is
I'm running out of time.
Here's what we have. We have to basically beat the heck out of them every single day and make it so they feel that there's a real price they're paying for every time they step over the line. And
I got to wrap up the show. I'm sorry we didn't get to more of the positive, but I will have you back. And it is just so much, it is enlightening and a pleasure to have you. Tell everybody again, I'll tell them, getliberty.org, Rick Manning. Don't forget that name. He helps us to make sense of all of this. He's been there, and I'm so sorry that you had to. Thanks again, Rick Manning. And thanks for your time.
Thank
that
you.
About
My
does
pleasure.
It for our pleasure. That does it for Spouting Off this edition. Join us Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for Spouting Off and a lot more radio that I do at KarenCataline.com. Thanks to Doug and the people at BBS Radio, and thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next week when there will be, oh yeah, a lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.